Down and says, I'm that Krishna. And the verse, do you remember that many years ago, Srila Prabhupada asked the visitors to Vrindavan, all the international devotees, so how do you like Vrindavan? It was an atmosphere that the devotees were just 2 days before leaving for the West. They were there a little sad, and now they have to leave Vrindavan. And Prabhupada, he captured this mood and said, how do you like Vrindavan? Almost like a veil. How do you say? Very much, Prabhupada. And then there was a but we have to leave. And the air, they didn't express it, but it was there. Prabhupada said, now it is your duty to bring Vrindavan to the rest. Very much remember this. And this verse here is about preaching the glories of the Lord throughout the entire world, which is very nice. Let us please concentrate. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. In the glories of the Lord throughout the entire world are recognized in worship by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the heart and soul of all creation. The Brahmanas, by their preaching, sanctify the three worlds with the dust of their lotus feet. And that they are worshipable even for Krishna. So, as admitted by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Nachatas maam manasyeshu kashchit me priyakritamaha. The Brahmanas preach the cult of Krishna consciousness all around the world. Therefore, although they worship Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord also recognizes them as worshipable. The relationship is reciprocal. The Brahmanas want to worship Krishna, and similarly, Krishna wants to worship the Brahmanas. In conclusion, therefore, Brahmanas and Vaishnavas who are engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord must be worshipped by religionists, philosophers, and people in general. At Vedanta Surya Yajna of Maharaj Yudhishthira, many hundreds and thousands of Brahmanas were present. Yet Krishna was selected to be worshipped first. Therefore, Krishna's order the Supreme Person, but by his causeless mercy, he recognizes the Brahmanas as dear most to him. Nama Vishnu Paraya Krishna Krishnaya Uttare Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinayu Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Prachare Nirvishesha Shunyavani Askachyane Satane Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vaishnavi Guru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Nandasya Brahmanarajan Krishnasya Jagad Atmanaha Punanta Paradasasa Trilokim Daivatam Mahat. Translation. My dear King Yudhishthira, the Brahmanas, especially those engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord throughout the entire world, are recognized and worshipped by the Supreme personality of Godhead who is the heart and soul of all creation. The Brahmanas, by their preaching, sanctified the three birds with the dust of their lotus feet, and thus they are worshipable even for Krishna. Hare Krishna. Before I start, I must excuse myself to the devotees. My English is not so good because for lack of practice, a little rust has covered the vocabularies and the phrases and so on and so forth. So please encourage me by giving me the best present you can give to a Bhagavata speaker, that is your full attention. You will need it to understand my sometimes broken English, and you will have to correct, edit my lecture by putting the right English words if I somehow make the wrong hit, so to say, and don't get it exactly correct. So please kindly make this an exercise in your attention. It might help you to discover some interesting concepts which will help you in your spiritual life. Anyways, good. Here in this verse, the Brahmanas are glorified. According to our scriptures, the Brahmanas engage in six kinds of activities, that is, studying and teaching, the other is performing yajñas, and then doing yajñas for others, and the other two are to accept charity and then to give charity. If you study carefully these six activities, you will notice that they fall in two categories. One is for an individual life of a Brahmana, and then he does something which is not just for his individual concern, but which is meant for others. For instance, he studies. That's an activity which he performs mostly for himself. He reads and absorbs and assimilates knowledge. But then he also teaches, which means he does something for others. He goes outside. Or he performs a yajna, worships maybe the Shalakam Shila, and so on. But then he engages for others. Yajnas, for instance, you may be called to do a hair cutting ceremony or a marriage ceremony, or he may be invited to preside over an initiation. I wouldn't say preside over, but to conduct the yajna for an initiation ceremony. So, and the other thing is he accepts the rupees, the donations, but he also gives charity to others. So, for a healthy spiritual life, we can conclude from this. It is important to absorb yourself, do your own bhajan, but then do also something for others. This balance between these two activities makes for a very healthy spiritual life. It's something like inhaling. But after inhaling, you can't just sit down and hold the breath until some biological problem develops. You have to this was meant to be the last sleepers awake, by the way. You do something, it comes outside, in other words. So, here in particular, it is said that Brahmanas preach. A very good example of preaching is the great saint Vasudeva Datta. Ultimately, in order to preach, one has to go to the school of selflessness, where one learns the art of giving, which is a little bit opposed, or quite opposed, to the art of taking. By our biological birth in this world, we know what it means to execute the art of taking. The basic principle of material existence is selfishness. Me, mine, aham, mameti, the conditioned soul is firmly situated in the prison of material life, and the prison bars are aham, I, me, and mine. I and mine, aham, mameti. That's the stuff of our material conditioning, which is covering our soul. And that makes for the selfishness, which can be observed in almost every single human undertaking. But this selfishness is not our natural constitution. Our natural constitution is that of unconditional love. And the practice of Krishna consciousness is meant to release this natural constitution from the prison of our material conditioning. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti in Madhurya Kadambani explains towards the end that is the goal of sadhana, or all spiritual undertakings, to overcome the concept of I must be the center, this is for me, this is mine. But we must come to the understanding that I am a part of Krishna, linked with him. And Krishna is mine. Yes, he is my Lord, he is my Ranana, the Lord of my life. I require him in my existence more than I require my breathing. He is more important for me to be concentrated on Krishna than even my breath. Hare Krishna. So, a good example for selflessness, yes, is Vasudeva. And I would like to read you a little bit from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Don't get shocked by this machine. It is only the Chaitanya Charitamrita which we will read. I know it's not shocking. That's modern life. Here in this verse, we find the wonderful expression of a selfless devotee of Krishna, who is actually the prime example. His name is Vasudeva Datta. Not long ago, I had the good fortune to accompany His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj on his wonderful Mayapur Govandal Parikrama, and we also safely arrived in Mothram Dweep at Vasudeva Datta's place. It was very, very interesting. It took about half an hour to move up the Gangas in this little motorized boats. They have also changed. Previously they used to be road, but now Tata engines move them swiftly up the current. And as we came to the shore of Motor, that have beautiful banyan boughs, banyan trees, we were remembering Vasudeva Datta. He unboarded the ships, had a beautiful kirtan, and then came to something which looked like a little valley with palm trees, and covered with weeds and many ants. But We all threw ourselves into that. On the ground, some of us were bitten by the red ants, quite intense. But we were prepared. We knew we had arrived at the sacred place of divine potency, where the most merciful Vasudevata, the greatest example of selflessness, used to reside. There's still some bricks of his old house. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would weep when he would hear the name of Vasudevata. He would say, "I have become the property of Vasudevata." He can sell me on the marketplace if he wants. I am his property. And here is a prayer of Vasudevata which will make you understand why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so much worshipping Vasudevata, like it says here. The Brahmanas are worshipped by the Lord. It's because of the selflessness. Hear his prayer and shudder with appreciation. "My dear Lord, let me suffer perpetually in a hellish condition, accepting all the sinful reactions of all living entities. Please finish the diseased material life." Then in the next verses he said, "If you think my request is too much," if you think, in other words, "the sinful reactions must go somewhere, then put them on my head. I am prepared to suffer for all of them." Perfect. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives the following commentary on this verse. Another commentary. "In the Western countries, Christians believe that Lord Jesus Christ, their spiritual master, appeared in order to eradicate all the sins of his disciples. To this end, Lord Jesus Christ appeared and disappeared. Here, however, we find Sri Vasudevata Thakur and Srila Haridas Thakur to be many millions of times more advanced even when compared to Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ relieved only his followers from all sinful reactions. But Vasudevata is here prepared to accept the sins of everyone in the universe. A Vaishnava is actually so liberal that he is prepared to risk everything to rescue conditioned souls from material existence. Srila Vasudevata Thakur is universal love itself, for he was willing to sacrifice everything and fully engaged in the service of the Supreme." So, on this holy place, we were praying to Vasudevata, "Please, we are selfish people. Please, by your kind mercy, your universal love itself, give some compassion into our heart. Give some love for others into our heart. Help us to come out of the prison of I and mine." Spiritual advancement really takes place if you step out of the little world of I and mine. This little world which is surrounded by an ugly border of selfishness. To come into Krishna's divine pastimes, we need to follow the mood of the gopis. This is explained often in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The mood of the gopis really is a mood of selflessness. They have a worry when Krishna goes out in the forest. Their worry is that Krishna's lotus feet might get hurt by the thorns and the pebbles of Vrindavan. Those of you who went barefoot on Vrindavan Parikrama or even Braj Mandal Parikrama know that this is a very realistic concern. Sometimes the feet are hurt by the thing. So that gopi is actually very worried. Krishna, we are already afraid when your feet touch our bodies that they might be too hard, our bodies. But what is when you go into Vrindavan? The thorns and the stones will certainly hurt your feet. And they were crying, thinking this. This is how they thought of Krishna. They did not think of themselves. This is the example of selfless service, which we can learn even in our state when we, from the gopis, the dearest devotees of the Lord. Now, I want to tell you this morning a little story about selflessness, which will very nicely illustrate the point how important it is to learn this in order to advance in Krishna consciousness. Once there was a monk, or a brahmacharini. You can translate it into your own life. And he was residing in the Himalayas in some cave and practicing very, very sincerely his sadhana. Now after 6 years, he had the feeling, I'm not getting anywhere. There is no transformation in the heart, no change of my life. And he thought, let me give up the practice, let me go back to my home village and live an ordinary life. This is torture here. I'm practicing so much in the Himalaya mountains, I'm not getting anywhere. Just I'm frustrated, like this doesn't work, this process. Let me give up, let me poop, so to say. So on the way down the in the valley, he saw a man who had a thread, and he was rubbing it against a piece of iron, almost like this. Only one thread. What are you doing? The monk asked. I'm very interested to find out. Oh, said the man, I'm trying to saw through this piece of iron by using this thread. Oh, said the monk, you're very patient. And he thought, well, maybe Krishna has arranged this scene for me. Maybe I shall also be a little bit more patient. And he went back to the Himalayan mountains to practice his chanting and whatever rules and regulations he had. But after 6 further years, he thought, nothing is happening. I'm not getting anywhere. I'm not making advancement. He went down to the valley again to become an ordinary person and to look. But on the way, he found a little mouse. The mouse was before a little rock, maybe like this big, which had fallen from the nearby mountain and rolled before the mouse hole. And the mouse was gnawing, I think it's called in English, with its sharp front teeth on this little rock in order to come back into the home place, the home hole. Amongst all this, thought, even the mouse is very patient. Maybe I should try again. And he went back. But after, let us count together, 6 plus 6, 18 years altogether, he thought, I'm not getting anywhere, I give up. And he went back to his village and he came in the evening So the main street, it was not populated because everyone was preparing for the night already. So as he walked down the street, he saw a dog, but a real dog, like you can see in the garden. 100 million leaves have eaten away due to a competition, fights for the opposite sex. He is ripped, torn open on two places. The dog was really suffering like anything. A pus was coming out of the eyes and of the hind legs, and he was wincing and so on. So our monk, then seeing the dog, felt a strange stirring in his heart, which he had not known before. He went with his bowl to the river. He took some water out of the river and brought it to the dog. And the dog began to drink it and felt some life coming back and was very happy. Then the man went back again to capture some more water. But when he came back to the dog, there was the saint standing, a great soul, who said, "Finally you have understood that the first selfless activity which you have done, now if you chant the Hare Krishna mantra with great concentration and free from offenses, you will actually make advancement, and soon you will have love of Krishna in your heart. Go away and chant." My point is a similar point. To make advancement, but be very selfish. Oh, my own advancement, my benefit, my and I, is not very good for spiritual life. But the thing that I want to serve and please Krishna, I want to be a little selfless, I want to help others come to Krishna consciousness. Oh, this mood comes in the heart. The heart is prepared to take the rein of Krishna's mercy in a very, very nice way. Now, in order to become selfless, we need to be in the position of strength. This is a very important point. If you want to give something, you need to be secure inside of you. You need to have something. You can't give to others if you are not spiritually secure, if you have no standing in the transcendent and no connection to the spiritual world. To give compassion and not be spiritually secure and nicely situated is very, very difficult. Therefore, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur said very nicely that even for a spiritual-minded person, he needs to watch that there are four areas which he constantly takes care of. And this now almost sounds like a lesson in self-improvement. First of all, there needs to be some physical health. And I would add some mental health also. The World Health Organization figures out that in a little while from now, mental diseases will really be the most of the diseases. Then, for even a spiritual person must see that he carries some deep feeling of inspiration in himself or herself. When you wake up, there should be a project in your mind which totally inspires you. Oh, another day, I can do this project, which mentally inspires you. Sometimes it is necessary that you have a little hobby. Krishna conscious hobby. Then the next thing is to be in a position of strength. The social dimension must be correct. If you have no friends around you, and if you are impossibly situated in your ashram situation, you are not in a position of strength really. And the fourth point which Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions is one should read regularly in the Shastras. So if you want to be selfless, then you need to be strong. A selfish person is an extremely weak individual who has nothing to give to others, who has only himself in his mind. There is no abundance, no opulence in him. He is dry like a stick, really. But a person who is compassionate, who can care for others, he is actually a rich person, spiritually. Now, in order to come to a spiritually strong position in life, I feel that each one of us has to make a journey, a very important journey, which is often not seen, and therefore I feel the need to address it. I would like to spend the remaining part of the lecture before going to the question and answer section with describing to you the journey from idealism and realism. I will first explain this journey psychologically, and then I will explain it so in terms of the life of a devotee in our movement. Idealism means, very simply, to put ideas, high ideas usually, before practical consideration. Idealism is often there in young people who think, for instance, that they can change the world. Maybe you also have this stirring in you, that we will do everything better. We will change the world. Now, realism is often defined as to put practical considerations before your ideas. Let's be practical. The world cannot be changed so easily. My own generation has performed this journey. Like I know, when we were young, we were on the streets marching, throwing stones against the capitalistic establishment, and we were breaking windows and hoping that we will make a better society and replace this rotten and stinking hypocritical society of materialistic values with something more human, also tinged a little bit. Well, at that time spiritualism was not yet known so well. But then, as we turned 30, I remember we looked around and all of the revolutionaries had married, they had taken jobs, and were conforming to the pressures of earning money. They said, unless we practical, the world cannot change, we change so much. I feel that many times devotees who join the movement for Krishna consciousness have the express desire, I want to become a pure devotee. I want to give up my attachments to this world. I want to learn to love Krishna. I want to be a compassionate, selfless preacher of Krishna consciousness. I want to be free. Huh? But then, as they turn older, the movement didn't really do all the promises to me. They're trying now to take care of myself a little bit. Have you heard this? Or is it in your heart, maybe? Or in your mind? Or in your genetic codex? A short silence. Yes, this is very much the psychology of each conditioned soul. First, we are very idealistic and believe in high concerns, and then, because either we change or the circumstances change, we replace the concept of idealism with the concept of realism. That means we put practical considerations and experiences before our ideas. And I want to surprise you. I think this journey is natural for every thinking individual. But we don't have to encourage us to make a pause at every ekadasi and look back to the last 14 days and investigate very clearly, have we made advancement? What has happened in our lives? To make an inventory. If we see that something has changed, which after all is totally natural in the world of matter, if we see that we have changed, which is after all totally natural in life, then don't become shocked. But see what you can do to still make spiritual progress. I personally feel, I shouldn't say this in the Bhagavatam class, but it can be observed that each devotee starts on point A. He is usually very convinced that, I joined a movement of pure devotees. This is much better than the Kami society. And if I chant Hare Krishna for only 2 years, I will also be a pure devotee. When he turns around, usually after, in our modern ISKCON, after 2 years, and reads the critical books, and is there in the critical discussions, he finds out, the movement I have joined is not entirely composed of only pure devotees. There is also other concerns which can maybe be described as ordinary human concerns of selfishness. And when the devotee turns around after 2 years, he finds out, I have still so many anathas, I'm also but a pure devotee. So at this day, the devotee can turn in one of two roads. One is the road of compromise. Let's be practical. You know, I tried it, but it didn't make me happy. I only have spiritual literature. Let me also read other literature. I only had association of devotees, of a spiritual culture. Let me also, make a little compromise. I only followed the four regulative principles, but let's be practical. Three regulative principles is more realistic and according to time, place, and circumstances. And so on and so forth. It's called, or we can call it the road of compromise. Now the other road, which I would say is more realistic, we can call it the road of mature realism. We should find out what is really true and what is really real. Yet our society changes, like it is natural for societies. Yes, our society, which is known to accept patitas, the very fallen people of age of quarrel, also has some surprises in the world of scandals and politics ready for every one of us. It's natural. What do you expect if there are fallen individuals joined? They don't put their karma back immediately before the gates of the temple. They carry them to visit in the temple, in the ashram, and they have to live their life and make their experiences and their frustrations with material life. And it doesn't go so brittle, so fast. Materialism, I would say, means to concentrate on 5 points which are always true. And these 5 points are, first of all, the holy name has tremendous potency when chanted or even attempted to be chanted without offenses. Someone who only makes the endeavor to avoid the offenses when chanting Hare Krishna, he comes to the Namabhasa platform. He leaves the difficult area of Namabharat, and the holy name will help purify him if he sincerely endeavors to avoid talking bad about Vaishnavas, to avoid being inattentive while chanting. There's the power of the holy name, which can purify the whole universe, huh? It will serve on you. That's a point of realism, the spiritual realism. The next point is Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam, in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the deity of Lord Krishna is installed. And when you read it, he comes in the lotus of your heart. That's another point, which always unfailingly is true. And other point is Sadhu Sangha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur encourages us Sadhu Sangha should be done with among Svajatis. What is the Svajati? These are a similarly minded person. This philosophical term Svajati is used in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's used there mainly to talk of the devotees who are in the same relationship to Krishna and who relish in that relationship the same rasa. They should associate. But it is explained by our acharya that Svajati means also devotees of a similar mind. Now, it doesn't mean that devotees associate with devotees who have also bent towards Maya. If you are have ruchi in Maya, high degree of taste in Maya. No. Just come to devotees who are with similar, you know, with whom you can talk about the same types of spiritual things. This helps very much in Sadhu Sangha. The next point is come to the holy Dham. Mother Vrindavan takes her dirty children from the west on her lap and her two energies work on our heart. This is Taraka and Paraka. Rupa Goswami in Padyavali says, when you come to a holy name and a holy Dham, you feel relieved and you feel also drawn towards Krishna. Even ordinary conditioned souls experience this. Yesterday I talked to a student of the Berlin University who came here for to make a study for a doctorate degree. And she said, you know what, in Vrindavan, I have thrown my list of study points, you know, my concept away. Yes, this is because Mother Vrindavan, or Vrindavan Dham, has this energy. It relieves us from our material concepts if we don't hold fast to them and engage in ordinary talk and gossip. And it draws us towards Krishna. Many people, I've even talked to a scientist a little while ago who
was here, started chanting in her in Vrindavan. The fifth point is serve the deity with all you can do. In your life of Krishna consciousness, you will travel from your idealistic young age, point A, and you will come to this turn, point B, this point. And here, it will be seen if you are the shadow of a devotee or if you are a real devotee. It will be seen what road you take. But take maybe if you wear a brahmachari and you marry, if you experience that due to so many things happening around you that you lose your nerves, keep to these five points and be a spiritual realist and your life of Krishna consciousness will be successful. These five realistic points are Bhagavatam, the power of the holy Dham, and the power of Multi-Seva, the service of the divine couple who so kindly come in the deity forms. If one holds fast to these five points, one can go back to Godhead, according to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All the 64 angas activities of sadha bhakti are these five points of realism, and all the activities of radhanuga sadha are also to be found in these five points. These points are not only true in whatever situation you find yourself in this changing world. These five points are also true in whatever situation and level of spiritual advancement you find yourself. They are the points of true realism because they connect us and lift us with the atmosphere, or the transcendental atmosphere of the spiritual reality, which is not changing. Here in Vrindavan Dham, we can learn these five points. When we go and preach to the fallen souls, we should know these five points in our life, make our fundament of them, and in this way, become highly successful. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, Śrī Gaura-nitāya ki jai, Śrī Krishna Balarāma ki jai, Śrī Rādhā Śyāma Sundara ki jai, Gaura Prema-nandi Hariya go. Do you have any questions? Please speak loudly.
In the result, if we're chanting and hearing, or engaging in this life, not in this life, but then we don't feel any great enthusiasm to preach after doing that. What happens?
When we engage in these five angas of bhakti, as Raj Bihari Prabhu, but afterwards don't feel any real enthusiasm to preach, what happens? Well, maybe we won't, I don't want to give this a, maybe we won't, what happens depends on the individual, but I know what your question is. In Krishna, a preacher in Krishna consciousness will sometimes find out that it's very difficult for also him to balance his own absorption of Krishna consciousness with preaching Krishna consciousness to the world. Preaching can be very demanding because one meets very people who bring their own atmosphere with them, and it can in some way affect the devotee. So a preacher sometimes may need an extra dosage of hearing and associating with devotees. And Srila Prabhupada created the temple in this holy dam for this purpose, so that the devotees could come here and get that extra dosage of hearing and chanting and so on, and associating with advanced devotees. So it is all right for a preacher to sometimes take this extra doses. Now, after he has taken an extra doses, it is natural that he can again preach, provided he knows about the subtleties of association. When you associate, there are two types of association. One is you influence the person with whom you associate, and the other is the person with whom you associate influences you. Now, what of the two takes place is a matter of concentration. When you are very concentrated, you will, you will influence the other person. If you're not, the other person will influence you. It's like you've learned in biology, these cells. If outside of the cell is a lot of liquid with a lot of salt concentration, and inside the cell is water with not so much salty, then it will go through the cell membrane, the salt will go through and make the cell inside salty. But if the cell is has a highly concentrated substance, then that substance will travel outside and make and influence the environment. So if you go out for preaching and associate with these people, you have to be concentrated. You have to know your subject. You have to be absorbed in your Krishna consciousness. And then you will influence people around you. People will, sometimes the preacher will go to an environment and people will become, drawn to this, and others will show their envious nature and explode with many unpalatable reactions because they become influenced by that. So, and I feel a devotee who takes in Krishna consciousness and afterwards is afraid to preach has to learn the art of association. And once he has done that, there is no need to be afraid of preaching, because when you preach properly, then your enthusiasm increases. If you give transcendental knowledge, your own realizations increase. That's a transcendental rule. Yes, the more the Panchatattva gave love of Godhead, the more the reservoir increased. This principle is also there in preaching. If you preach properly without becoming influenced by the high degree of karmic concentration around you, then the Krishna consciousness increases very much. Now, it may also happen, Raj Bihari, that someone is not exactly a preacher, and he may, in the way it is narrowly defined, in the way it is usually defined, that is, going with books or with lecture to conditioned souls. It may be that a person is simply not suited to do this. And this devotee should not get a minority complex because of this verse today. We are all preachers in Krishna consciousness, said Prabhupada, because every one of us has the preaching. I for instance consider our exalted Indra Prabhu, a great preacher of Krishna consciousness. Is he here? I have to stop talking because it's embarrassing. Let me make it sure. He is sitting here in Vrindavan, dressed in the simple torn quilt of the mendicant, and engaged in bhajan and organizing the 24-hour kirtan program. And his cassettes go all over the world, and I can imagine also, I mean, the devatas are listening. What's the new Vrindavan mellow? What are the new ragas playing? Is it out as of yet? And the other thing you got to say, well, why don't you just go to Vrindavan? I'm not qualified to go to Vrindavan, says Devi Varar. I'm waiting for the tape. And many people become enthused by this night. And the devotees, they become enthused with the new melodies. I know in Germany we all copy the melodies. Nityananda Band copies also the melodies and adds a little Serbian spice to it, and so on. This is preaching. Or those devotees who keep this wonderful temple alive and well in the changing storms of controversies, and so on. This is preaching, because this holy place, Vrindavan Dham, it is giving the life to all the preaching movement. We who run away, who run around, who run away to the West and who run around in the West preaching, if the temple is not there, or we hear the Vrindavan temple again, the newest thing is parampara discussions and complicated talks of the mind, then we become depressed that this temple, if it has this wonderful atmosphere which I always experience when I come here, then it's doing a wonderful service to the preaching movement, because it gives life to all the preaching. Don't think the movement can be spread if Radha, Shyama, Sunda are not satisfied with the devotees. If we and a transcendental movement function entirely by blessings which have to come from our superiors, from Guru, Sri Guru and Sri Krishna. So those devotees who keep a temple, they are doing an important preaching by satisfying the Lord with their service and so on. The important thing for someone who is not a preacher, however, is to remain connected with the preaching movement, and vice versa. The important thing for those who are preaching is to remain connected with our temples and our missions. There should not be any immature duality created between preachers and temple preachers, so to say, like this. Hare Krishna, have I hit upon your, this was like the shotgun answer, hopefully something hit. Hare Krishna. Yes, do you have another question among the devotees? Yes.
You were making the point about the Y in the road.
Yes.
A, then you go to B, and then there's a Y in the road.
Yes.
About the road of compromise and the road of
mature realism.
Mature spiritual realism.
Yes.
So, it seems to me that at that juncture, we have to observe, we come to observe, that whether or not someone is actually having Shraddha.
Yes.
Correct. You know, that if someone is having Shraddha, then it means that he has absolute resolve to hell or high water, attain the lotus feet of Krishna,
yeah.
And for doing that, he knows that he has to take shelter of a process which actually helps him to achieve that ideal, or idealistic goal.
So true.
Mm-hmm. So, but then with regard to the other, we could say, poor-hearted devotees, weak-hearted devotees, who want to compromise. I'm just feeling, feeling sorry for us who are like that. I guess I can feel sorry for myself enough, you know, get myself together. But also, as you were saying, compassion should be there. So we should feel sorry for others who may be compromising in their spiritual life due to a lack of Shraddha. So the question naturally comes that because they're bent on compromising, how to help them to increase their Shraddha?
Yes, very good. So Ayana Prabhu says, when one comes from A to B, from his idealism to seeing where one realistically is, and then has to make the decision, will I go into mature spiritual realism, that is, holding fast to the points which are always true and always help me to bring me to Krishna, or will I just simply make compromises and maybe not get there even. The point really is Shraddha. So how can we increase the Shraddha of devotees who feel disheartened and disencouraged so that they make the spiritual turn and not the turn which does not make them happy and does not deliver the result? That is the question. Now, in order to show compassion, three things must be there. First of all, we must recognize the problem of someone. The second point is we must desire to help. We don't want, there must be a desire. And the third point is we must do something to help. Very pragmatic. If you don't understand the problem of someone, you can't help him. Those of us who are Matajis and who have little children know this. When the little child starts to make a sound, you have to understand what's wrong. If you give food where water is relevant, or if you bang his head, bang, don't make sound, where it's more relevant, so give him I'm not so good with children. You pat him on the head or something. You can't help him really. So the first understanding for some, the first point for someone who wants to show compassion is he must understand the other person. Then he must desire to help him. There must be a bona fide desire, not a desire to put a club over his head and punish him, but to help him and then do something to help. So, the Shraddha of someone increases usually in sadhu sangha, in good association. Shraddha is also increasing
if a devotee sometimes may change this problematic area and go to another place, like a Bodhidharma, stay in the courses of the Vaishnava Education Institute and so on. You have seen it's correct. The Shraddha is missing. But we need to understand what exactly pains that person. Sometimes it takes 2 hours to find it out of just listening and listening and encouraging the other person. Please say it. I won't say it. I won't put it next morning on com or if it faxes all around the universe. just tell me and maybe I can help. Maybe difficult to help, but you know, first understand what's wrong and then start there and build up the sadha, the shraddha and sadhu sangha, with sadhu sangha. Simple answer. I hope I have not disappointed you. We need, you're right, we need to feed the shraddha. What develops shraddha is sadhu sangha in general, and so you might direct someone to sadhu sangha. We had this experience with many devotees who became weak when they found the association of the right devotees. Ooh, they developed very strongly in their Krishna consciousness. Yes. We have to preach to the devotees. Just, you know, create around his mind again a spiritual understanding. Usually someone goes into compromise if he does not have a firm spiritual understanding and not a taste. When you find it, invite him for a bath in the Yamuna. Ganga. Hare Krishna. I have to stop here because I'm already above the time. Thank you very much. Think about this road. It will come in your life if it has not come already. Think of how, when it comes, you can imbibe the points of spiritual maturity in your life. How you can make that the fundament. You may change the atmosphere. You may, instead of having shaved up only, you may have some hair or some ring in the ear or some white in the dhoti and in the mind, or you may have had a fallout with someone. But these points remain always true. They are very powerful because they are based to meet Krishna. And they will never disappoint anyone who tries them and makes them the fundament of this life. That's sure. Shri Gaura Nitaya Ki Jai, Shri Krishna Balarama Ki Jai, Shri Radha Shyam Sundara Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Prema Nandi Hari Bol.
Namaste.